Good morning. Today is Tuesday, June the 30th. Joining us this morning, Fortuna City Manager Merritt Perry. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Takes guts to fire a police chief when they have a gun and you don't. Congratulations on seeing you this morning.
Yeah, it's nice to be here. It's kind of strange. I've got your chair and you're across the room.
Yeah, well, you know, you take care of it the way you need to, right? Let's see if we can find something here that's truly challenging for you, just because it's been so long. Oil on troubled waters. That's not one that I recognize, do you?
Oil on troubled waters.
I don't. I mean, I think I've heard it once, so it's not that viable. Okay. Are you ready, sir?
As ready as ever.
Philander. What is the reason a person inconsistent in love is said to philander? Not philanderer, philander.
I don't know. That I'm not going to take a guess.
You're not up on your Greek then.
No. Is that...
The word literally means loving man.
Huh. Okay. Then why someone who struggles is called a philanderer?
No, it's not someone who struggles, buddy. I'll let you look that one up all by yourself. Yeah, yeah. Check that one out at home tonight. See what the reaction is.
I'll have to do that.
Yeah. Okay. So you got a new top cop, huh? Kind of cool.
Yeah, it's really nice to be through the recruitment process and have a police chief come aboard. I'm excited to introduce our new police chief. His name's Casey Day to the community, and one of the first things I want to do is take him out and introduce him to folks around town. One of the primary things he's interested in doing and focusing on is community-oriented policing. And, you know, it's one of those things you don't quite get it, but it sounds nice. And, you know, so I looked it up and talked to him about it, and really just kind of, you know, basing your approach to community relationships and trying to resolve things, you know, through having those and establishing relationships with the community. So I'm excited to see what he can do there and what new approaches he can bring to the department. And he's also really interested in, you know, working with the guys that we have there. We have a great guys and gals. We have a great department. And so, you know, I think he's going to come in and observe and really, you know, see what's happening, see how things are working, and try to build on an already strong organization.
I would suspect the fact that he's of the area, not local, but of the area, at least he's kind of halfway familiar with some of the dynamics that happen out here on the coast rather than in the valley.
Yeah, it's interesting. So he is a 19, he's worked as at the Anderson Police Department for the last 19 years. And I looked up Anderson, and it's a similar population size, a similar general fund size, like the demographics of the communities are very similar, at least, you know, a lot of the, you know, the size, the type of government, and probably just the scale. So I think he'll have a really good feel for that. And
he doesn't have to worry about I-5.
Doesn't have to worry about I-5. And I think, you know, he and his family kind of made the decision to come over, and I think they're excited to be in this area. He told me before he was selected for the position that this is where they come to spend their time, and they really like the coast. So I think not only the job opportunity, but I think they're excited to be in the area, and in particular Fortuna.
So he likes fog. That's good.
We'll see.
Yeah. Maybe not prolonged fog, but, you know, for a day or two at a time.
Yeah.
What set him apart?
You know, for me as a city manager looking at a candidate, obviously I don't have a background in criminal justice or law enforcement. So it was really important for me to have somebody in that position who has those skills. You know, he not only does he have over 19 years of experience at the police, he has some time in the Marines, but he also has a bachelor's degree in organizational leadership and a master's degree in criminal justice. So good educational background, good experience base, and I wanted somebody who really knew the subject matter and could work with our department and know as much as other people in law enforcement, because that's, as a city manager, I can't do that, and that was a necessary thing. And we were lucky to have a panel of some local chiefs who really helped and to vet our applicants, so I feel really good about the decision.
That's pretty common, isn't it, to use peers of the position that you're hiring for to be involved? City managers, you should hear about some of the city managers in the area. Finance directors. You hear the finance directors are all kind of involved. I would think that that helps to build an immediate level of acceptance.
Yeah,
when they get together.
Yeah, and I think more than that, you know, you can't have a lot of experience at, say, for example, in top positions like a city manager at a police chief within one city, because that's the highest position. And so you look to the other cities who have other people in those positions, so you can kind of pull together a peer group who knows the job and the job functions well, and then they can help advise you. And, you know, we had some great input from our selection committee on this and insights from some of our other local chiefs who helped us out. And it was really nice to have their perspectives and have them spend, you know, the days it took to participate in interviews.
What was the biggest surprise for you?
Going through the process?
Either that he – no, that – Casey either brings to the table, or that's part of his dynamic, or just the process itself of chief selection.
Biggest surprise is, you know, this guy, from the first time I've talked to him and through the interviews, he's been 100% in and has never wavered from fully want, you know, his desire to do the position, his dedication to getting things done. I mean, he was on the phone before we, you know, completed his background and everything else, ordering uniforms. Like, this guy has it in his mind he's going to do the job, and he's, you know, laser focused on doing everything he has. So I haven't had to do hardly anything to help get him up to speed. You know, we had some delays in his, you know, his physical, and he called and figured that stuff out. So this guy's a hard driver.
He wants it.
And I don't have to push him, and that's you know, a great attribute that, you know, you can't teach someone.
Now, one of the things I think that makes Fortuna a little unique with this position is you retire guys out. They're not moving on.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, kind of rare, isn't it, for a town the size of Fortuna?
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, if you look at different cities, Fortuna is it's a nice size city, and it's a great size city to work for, because you can kind of get your mind around it. It's not so big that it's complicated and we need analysts to do different positions. You know, you can, it's just the scale of the city, I think, is great to work for. I think the city council has realistic expectations, and I think they just want to get things done. And I think having reasonable and straightforward expectations in a size of community, in a community that appreciates your work, really makes a great workplace and in work environment that people want to stay at.
KINS News and Information Time is 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time is 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Merritt Perry. Merritt, typically this time of the year, we're talking about July and as Fortuna being destination.
Yeah.
I'm sure that you're still looking for Fortuna to be destination, but I don't think it's going to be for tens of thousands of people on a weekend quite to the same extent. What is going on? What is the status of those events?
Yeah, it's a strange time. Typically, we're gearing up, you know, and our employees aren't allowed to take vacation because we've got all our visitors coming to town. We have rodeo. We have 3rd of July. We have rodeo. We have Auto Expo. We have, you know, then Apple Harvest. And so we get on this big roller coaster of events that, you know, people come to, you know, grow accustomed to and want to attend, and it's part of their life. And so what we're seeing now is those events being canceled, and it's a bummer. A lot of people take that seriously. There's a lot of effort, and it's a big part of people's lives. So
the cultural identifier for this community too.
Yeah, I think Fortuna does a great job, and in, you know, a lot of cities end up giving up their bigger events, and Fortuna, that's not on the table.
Yeah, it's kind of funny to say small town.
Yeah.
And not think that Eureka is a small town. Certainly by national standards, everybody around here is itty-bitty.
Yeah.
Okay. But, yeah, to see some of the – it's almost, I think, a civic pride issue.
I think so.
Guys kind of, you know, you get all the various service clubs and organizations, and everybody's kind of pulling together for this weekend, and then you have a week or two off, and then you pull again on another one, and you just kind of, that's summertime, you know, it's the community coming together.
Yeah. Well, one bright spot, no pun intended, is that there will be fireworks. And it will be from an undisclosed location. It will not be on the city. And so that people can enjoy it.
Will be in the sky, though, right?
From their own home. They will be in the sky. They won't be underground. So the Fortuna Fireworks Committee, again, which is not part of the city, my understanding is that they're going to be having their annual show because they want people to be able to enjoy the 4th of July on the 3rd.
From an undisclosed
location.
Sounds like the parking lot at City Hall.
Yeah. No, that is not it.
All right, see, we eliminate one at a time.
Yeah, and that's all you're going to get from
me.
Yeah,
well, that's about all I want to.
But I think it's great, you know, that people will be able to enjoy the fireworks, and they're going to try to have it at a location that most people can see from their homes. And so I'm excited that they're doing that. I think it's a good thing, and obviously it'll be a challenge to keep people from congregating, but if they don't know where until they start going, people are going to...
Well, if you're just in the backyard and you can see it.
Yeah, I think
it's
great.
As long as the fog doesn't roll in.
Yeah.
And it doesn't appear with the weather we've been having this week.
No, it's been gorgeous. So yeah. Let's hope that that's the case and people can, if not see, they can hear the fireworks and it'll feel like a holiday.
Or, yeah, not feel them. Now, are you, as head honcho for the city, inviting other communities to come down and see? Because I think, isn't that the only one that's going to be happening in the county?
You know, I haven't been talking that much with the committee, and I think they're just trying to have, you know, a Fortuna event where people can watch from their homes and driveways and comply, you know, not create an issue with the public health order. So we're not looking to have a lot of visitors in town. I think they want to have something for Fortuna that people can enjoy from their home.
So it is like the old days. You're going to close the gates?
There's none of that either.
You stepped in that one, so easy.
Yeah. But you'll have to look. I believe they have a website or a Facebook page for, and you can get more information there. But again, it's not a city event, so I don't have the latest and greatest.
Well, and
you can talk to our mayor if you want.
And you don't have the liability either. I understand. And typically, you know, 3-day weekends are pretty exciting and big stuff. What are you hearing from the hoteliers and the travel industry, are they hopeful for the third quarter that it's going to come back in spades? Because you talk to anybody and everybody's itching to do something and just kind of get out of Dodge.
So, you know, I have heard a little bit, and actually they are a little bit optimistic, and they're hoping that, you know, with the coronavirus, people are going to stay closer to home. They're going to do more outings. And so they are starting to see their bookings pick up, and, you know, people will want to come to Humboldt County because they don't want to fly somewhere or go other areas where there's a lot of cases. And so I think they're hoping, and they are seeing reservations for people who want to come up and enjoy the Redwoods. And, you know, that might be a short trip for people from the Bay Area or coming from Oregon who want to come here.
And that, you know, opens up a whole different Pandora's box on that one. So, you don't want to have hoteliers be your contact points for the medical community.
No.
That's not fair for them either. So I suspect that the mask is going to be kind of the universal pay attention.
Yeah, it's law of the land right now.
Yeah, it's intriguing that it's not quite as universal, but it certainly is getting there. Has that caused you guys any challenges in the daily operations of the city?
You know, not so much. You know, the biggest challenge of daily operations is that our businesses had this huge shutdown. And so, you know, getting our businesses up and going, I think we're the number one thing to seeing the normalcy. So, you know, I'm glad to see that we have more and more businesses opening and getting their plans in. And so the city, we went through the same exercise that our businesses had to, and we put together a reopening plan. We do the health monitoring. We have the sanitation stations, even though we're an essential service and we never closed, we thought it would be good to make sure to go through that same exercise and put all those protections in place. So we have that, and we reconfigured our, you know, we were closed for a long time, and so we wanted to reopen, you know, very, very soon after they lifted the order. So, you know, for office spaces. So we opened City Hall back up and reconfigured it to keep the social distancing. And so I feel like, you know, it was not too bad for us.
It's 8:30.
I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you see a down power line, stay away from it and keep others away. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at smokeybear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Fortuna City Manager Merritt Perry. Talk Shop is presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Boy, you know, the mics open up and all of a sudden you sit up. It's like you think there's a camera on you or something.
All these chairs, you know, they're made to recline.
Yeah, well, good thing you didn't see the cots when you came in.
Yeah.
Oh. So tourism is kind of starting to happen a little bit. The signature events, though, for the out-of-towners, are they being rescheduled? Are they just being missed this year? What are you hearing? I know it's not city function, but there are permits involved.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, I did hear from Shannon McWhorter this morning, and you know, they are going to be canceling rodeo, and I think that's a tough one for that organization. The Rodeo Association's put that on. This is their 99th year, and I'm sure that was a really hard decision. I was in on a call with them last week. They were talking with the county, and you know, I don't know what their decision came down to. I don't go to their board meetings, but I know it was a big deal for them to have spectators and have people to come and appreciate it. And I think the county did the best they could to try to identify a way that they could have the rodeo and have the competition, but the one condition was no spectators. You can't have public gatherings. And so my guess is, and I don't...
Oh, even the separation like they do at church?
Even the separation, the rodeo, they wanted to have that. They wanted to bring the stands to a third of capacity, and they... No gatherings. That just really killed it. And to not have spectators, to put on a rodeo with no spectators is, you know, probably what, you know,
yuck,
drove them to their decision. Yeah, and it's unfortunate. I mean, there's a lot of dedicated people there, and again, another tradition that people look forward to every year that, you know, now is canceled. So I expect they'll announce that later today.
No opportunities though to bump it back. I mean, with the county fair not being there, I would think like. Is it Auto Expo, Auto Rama? I forget what.
Auto Expo.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah.
Drop that back down into August. You know,
yeah.
There's a couple weeks there that are wide open if things kind of loosen up a little bit. Maybe you can't do Main Street, but maybe you can do the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if you're a betting man and you think August is soon enough, you know, who knows? If you ask somebody in March, they'd probably say we'd be fine in July. And here we are in July wondering
I would say, yeah. I mean, one of the things that hacks me off, and I suppose you're in the same boat also, is when they say California.
Yeah.
Okay. So with this, the cases reported, California, If you look at the map, it's not California. It's L.A. County. It's San Bernardino County and a couple of those by the border.
Yeah.
That's it. We're diddle-dinking along, which is great. But then for that wide brush to be used is really lazy, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I think that's one of the challenges. People here aren't seeing the impacts. They're not seeing, we're not seeing a lot of deaths. You know, we've had some, but I think it's hard for people to, you know, when you see everybody walking around healthy and you have very few cases and it's being managed pretty well, I think it's easy for people to let their guard down and feel like this is an unnecessary thing. But, you know, I guess I'm just glad that we're not seeing those major impacts.
Yeah, it would be better not to.
Yeah. You know, I have talked to friends who, you know, they've had relatives who died up in Seattle and not being able to see a loved one in the hospital because there's prohibitions. You know, that's brutal. You hear those stories and, you know, you definitely don't want to see that happen here. So
well, you'll get your chance there being the only one that's allowed to go in.
Yeah.
For medical.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unfortunate, but I mean, if that's the step that has to be made, okay,
yeah.
That's the step that has to be made. Now, when it comes to your budget, though, you've got this inertia. I wouldn't call it momentum. This inertia that's going on, and then trying to project out 12 months. does it come back? Does it not come back? If it does come back, do you have to, is the local business community having to take the impact that it was? Are we changing culture again? You know, Christmas time, holiday gatherings, trick or treat, all those types of things that are norms. Are you anticipating that this is going to come back, or do you have a budget that allows for that, or structure? I mean, what are you guys looking at when you shine up your crystal ball?
So we looked at our budget. You know, you know the hardest thing to predict is revenue. I think what you said is people wanting to get back to normal is one of our strengths, you know, because people want to get out. They want to start doing the things they did, which includes spending money at restaurants and buying different things.
Softball leagues.
People want to do that. You know, we use a sales tax consultant, as do most of the cities, and they gave us some projections of what the revenue would be. And, you know, that's, you know, the crystal ball stuff is, you know, are we going to have scenario 1, 2, or 3 and how bad it's going to be? So, you know, we picked, you know, we had 3 scenarios that we looked at for diminishing revenue, and we picked the one in the middle. You know, we didn't pick the worst, and we didn't pick the rosiest picture either, because we want to make sure that, you know, we're meeting our revenue projections and that we don't underestimate. So,
I bet you have some markers along the way.
I think like some other communities around, we're going to go back after the first quarter and we're going to look at it in November and say, hey, where'd we end up? You know,
is that first quarter revenues, check would probably be coming from the second quarter?
And we may
or
not
are you
have
monitoring
those
contemporaneously.
I don't know that we'll have, you know, so if you look at the fiscal year, you know, the first quarter's June, July, August. And so we will probably be looking about, July, August, September.
What's your title?
Anyway, so we'll be looking at that. I think we'll have some data in November. So we're going to be bringing that back to the council in November and hope to have a better sense. But yeah, rather than coming mid-year like we normally do, we'll be coming back quarterly to adjust if we need to.
Almost have to. KINS, News and Information Times, 842.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 845. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Merritt Perry. Merritt, the concept of budgeting, I know it's more of an art than it is a science. Okay, I think everybody can kind of agree to that. But how flexible is it? I mean, you mentioned about getting the numbers. And when I think of speed, state is not what I think of at the same time. They're not linked. Those numbers come, I mean, you guys collect them, but it all goes to the state, right? That's where you have to turn the sales tax monies into or the whatever those fees are. And then you guys get a kickback minus whatever the process and handling, I guess, and postage fees are. It seems to me that there's got to be a better way, particularly in a situation like this where there's so much unknown and so much at risk, that you could get maybe in a monthly update or you know, you go to your top 5 or 6 sales tax generators in the city and just, you know, buy them a sandwich or something and just get an update every month on, okay, are you up or down? Give me the percent. Don't need the numbers. Just give me the percent so that you really do have a more accurate representation earlier. So if you do have to move, you got that time.
And we see a lot of that electronic reporting from businesses and their sales tax. But, you know, so sales tax, obviously, that's the biggest source of funds for the city. We also have our TOT tax, which is the bed tax on hotels. And then we have property tax, which, you know, isn't a huge part of what the city gets. But property tax is pretty reliable. You know, TOT tax, you know, pretty good projections, although we don't really know what's going to happen there, if they're going to start filling up or stay vacant. Sales tax is the one, and it would be nice to have real-time data. Unfortunately, we don't. And then there's been some delayed filings from businesses, and so we don't, you know, we're trying to operate on the best information we have. And again,
same with property tax too, right?
Yeah, but I think the property, you know, that's based on property values, and so I don't think we're seeing those change. So that's
no, but when that check comes in,
Right.
That's a critical thing, too.
That's a critical thing.
The old cash flow model.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, understanding what's happening with sales tax is the biggest one. And when you look at a city budget, you know, you look at what's coming in and when you look at what's going out, we have pretty good control over what's going out. You can look at the line items, how your departments have performed in the past. So, you know, and as a new city manager, I'm like, okay, where's the biggest unknown? And it is your revenue source. And, you know, so you get the best information, you question it. So we actually had our first projection, you know, and I forgot where we were, somewhere between 10 and 15% as a decline. And it's like, man, other cities are looking at over 30, and I wasn't comfortable. So we tested that. We went back to our consultants. We said, hey, you know, we really want to make sure we're not missing this. And we tightened it up. You know, so that's a really important thing. And
so you had to do that for the to the consultant rather than the consultant coming in?
We went back and asked for updated projections, more conservative scenarios. And then when we presented the budget to the city council, I said, look, here's where we're getting this information in from. Which scenario do we want to go with? And I think it's important for the council to know. You don't just show them, hey, here's our revenue. You say, here's the assumptions behind what our revenue are, and here's the scenarios we looked at. And I think that's
you show probably, them the footnotes.
Yes.
So to speak.
You look at the back of the book. You know. But that to me is the biggest unknown. And again, there's a lot of variables. You don't know what it is. It's a projection. And, you know, fortunately, some of the businesses in Fortuna are, you know, ones that, you know, hardware stores, home improvement stores, and people have been spending money at those. So, you know, maybe it won't be as bad, but we definitely don't want to over predict what our revenue is going to be.
Yeah, maybe it's nice not to be the county seat.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The lines at Costco are pretty long, and I'm sure they're doing pretty well with people cooking and eating at home more and spending money there. But
you got that big piece of property down there. Is anybody sniffing around now, or is this kind of put a paw on anybody doing
the former
anything other than home building?
No, there's people looking around. There's the former Palco mill site, and one of the things that we're looking at doing is submitting a planning grant. They have SB2 funds and looking at doing a specific plan for that property and really having a community-led effort working with the property owner to look at scenarios and hopefully develop a concept for that mill site that can ultimately be acted on so people, you know, whoever prospective developers could look at the transportation and infrastructure, they could look at the different types of land use and put something there rather than a blank slate that requires somebody else to come in and do all the planning. So at least there's one option for somebody to proceed with that has the city's blessing. And certainly the property owner could come up with their own vision too and propose it to the city. We just want to see something happen there.
Yeah, some inertia. There's that word again.
And I'm sure if we start and get a vision, somebody else will come in with something totally different, which would be great.
That's
just bring something.
Again, inertia. Thanks for coming by, bud.
My pleasure.
See everybody tomorrow.